Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here.
Commissioner McMillan?
Here.
Commissioner Bilkey?
Here.
Commissioner Olson will not be here. Vice Chair Hitt?
Here.
Chair Merrick?
Here. Okay. Call to the audience. Do we have any in cards? Anybody here? Okay. With that, let's close call to the audience and move to our regular session agenda. First thing, let's review and approve the meeting minutes from the October 10th meeting. You're right, a couple minutes to read that.
I gotta be right back.
I can't go that way.
Can I go this way?
Need a pass, yeah.
Need a pass?
I just need a sink. I need a sink. My eyes are burning out for some reason.
To approve the meeting minutes from October 10th.
I'll second. Okay, do we do a roll call vote after the meeting minutes? Okay, then let's take a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Forrest?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner McMillan?
Yes.
Commissioner Bilkey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hitt?
Yes.
Chair Merrick?
Yes. Okay, here at item number two, discussion regarding opportunities for commission involvement with the next 10-year general plan update. And
thank you, Chair Merrick and commissioners. My name is Melanie Sims. I'm a principal planner for the town of Laura Valley. I wanted to discuss some opportunities for you to get involved with the next general plan update. So, how many of you, by show of hands, are familiar with this document? This is our current 10-year general plan. It was ratified by the voters in 2016. And it is a 10-year document that helps guide town decisions and set policy for that 10-year time frame. So since this was ratified in 2016, that means the next general plan must be ratified by the voters in 2026. So why is the general plan important? You may know that it helps get things done. So the general plan includes the community's vision for moving forward long term, but also has goals and policies within the general plan to help bridge that vision with reality. And part of the goals and policies are roughly 310 action items that the community wanted to see done within that 10-year time frame. Some of them are related to water. There's actions related to water conservation, as well as just general utility operations. An example is listed on the screen. And I think what's unique to Oro Valley is our general plan does not just sit on a shelf. We actually are held accountable to it, and we provide annual progress reports on how these actions are fulfilled over time. So right now, we have about 4 years left on the current general plan, and we're roughly 95% through those 310 actions. And what I mean by that is they're either completed, some of them have been maintained through ongoing operations, such as some of the water conservation efforts, and then others are being worked on right now. Now those actions, they are prioritized over 2 years by the town council through the strategic leadership plan, so we do still have time to fulfill those remaining actions in the next 4 years. And the annual progress report for this year will be presented to town council on December 7th, should you be interested. In addition to help study policy and a vision for the next 10 years, the general plan is actually a state-required document. So not only does the state law require that we have a general plan updated every 10 years, but it also has specifications of what has to be included in the general plan. And some of the topics that are pretty standard to a general plan are listed on the screen, but as you see, for this next general plan, we do foresee water being a prominent element, just with discussions going on around the state, as well as housing. And even though the general plan planning leads the effort in the general plan, it really is the community's plan, and it does include several topics, not just land use. So the last general plan, again, it was ratified in 2016 by 71% of the voters. So if you're wondering, Melini, we have 4 years left, why are you talking to us about the next general plan? The reason is we want to make sure there's enough time to provide extensive community outreach. Again, this is the community's plan. And so we're following the same methodology we did back in 2016, which did win some awards for best public outreach, but was a 3-year process. And through that 3 years, this is just a, we're going to go through all the numbers, but this is just an idea of how much community feedback was provided. And honestly, I think in the next, with the next general plan and the way technology's evolved in the last 2 years, we could probably see even more information provided this time around. And this is just some of the information that the community told us through that 3-year process, and it is all documented in the general plan. These items are almost exactly what's in those guiding principles in the community's vision. So this is where I hope your involvement comes in. Our first step is creating a public participation plan. Now the public participation plan really sets the scope for the 3-year process, but also identifies who are our key stakeholders we want to reach out to and how. Now, of course, we want to reach out to everyone and cover as many demographics and geographical areas in town that we can, but we also want to figure out how we should engage with folks, because engaging with the youth is a lot different than engaging with a working parent versus a retiree. So it's looking at all the different ways we can go out and approach people. So we are creating a public participation advisory group. And that is where we're asking if you're interested in ways of reaching out to the community, or if you know of different groups that we should be reaching out to, I invite you to participate. We are looking at roughly 4 meetings, and they'll be in the late afternoons through December and January, and it will be, you can participate in person or online, whichever is easiest. And the purpose of which is to look at what's the extent of the update. We have a really good foundation with this 2016 plan. So what's the extent of our update for the next 10 years? And again, identifying what's our values related to participation in terms of the extent of that, who should we be engaging with and how. And ultimately, the Public Participation Advisory Group will be recommending a plan that will then go before the Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council for adoption. Now, outside of the Public Participation Plan, and if you're maybe not, that's not your forte, you're not interested in getting involved in that, I do want to assure you that there are going to be plenty more, you'll see me a lot more over the next 3 years, because there will be plenty more opportunities for you to get involved as the commission. And one is right after the public participation plan is adopted. That really gives us the budget and the schedule and the outreach events we're going to be doing as we kick off the general plan updates. The official kickoff will be next fall with the public. And then after we get some input from the community, we'll start focusing on our goals and policies that we want to see in the next 10-year general plan through committee work. And that's definitely an opportunity for commissioners to be involved, especially as we look at those water-related goals, policies, and actions. And then ultimately will be adoption and ratification, where we also will be checking in with you throughout this entire process and hoping that you'll get more involved in the committee if you
viewership for these.
With that, this is my contact information. Now, if you are interested in getting involved on the Public Participation Advisory Group, just email me and let me know that you're interested, and we'll get your information and let you know when those meetings will be held. So with that, I'm happy there's questions.
And you don't have to be a commissioner to be involved in this, right? The reason I say that is I have three commissioners that are terming out this December.
Sure, so if you're terming out, that's fine. As long as you're on the commission, you apply. That's fine.
So they just have to apply before January?
Yeah, so the group will be having meetings through December. There will be two in January, but we'll be starting before you turn out as well. So you will need to let me know if you're interested by November 23rd. Thank you. The point, I forgot the last one.
That's okay.
So yeah, if you're interested, or if you have questions, if you think about it, please reach out to me. And then we're hoping that everybody will let us know by November 23rd because we'll start meeting very shortly after that. Not on Thanksgiving, I can promise you. Thank you.
Any more questions for me? Thank you very much. Okay, number three, update discussion on increasing costs associated with operating the water utility. Peter Abrams. All right.
So it's that time of year where Mary Rallis and staff start working on our water rates analysis work. And one of the things that we're seeing, we saw it last year, we're seeing again this year, one of the real big drivers that's going to be affecting what we're going to go to council with in terms of what I think will end up being our recommendation for a rate increase, it's really being driven by some of the things I'll be talking about right now, today. You know, we're just in unprecedented times with respect to our water resource costs. And, you know, we're currently working on our fiscal year 23-24 water rates analysis. And several areas of our operating expenses are trending upwards and markedly. You know, in the past, you know, some of the drivers might have been, you know, a wheeling cost with Tucson Water, or, you know, we need to bump up our capital expenditures for the year. You know, maybe we need another 30 or 40 cents, you know, per customer per month. But we're seeing some trends that are really, really, this is what's really driving, and we'll be working with our finance subcommittee on this in November and December. One of them is our CAP capital charge, and this is to purchase, you know, our full allocation of 10,305 acre feet of CAP water. So, you know, as we were trending fiscal year 19-20, we were just under $600,000. It went down in 2021, back up, and now we're estimating to be back to where that 19-20 was. But then, you know, we're going to see some increases there. You know, so that there's one. One of the real big ones is our CAP delivery charge. Here again, you know, CAP's delivering less water to fewer customers, yet a lot of their fixed costs remain the same. You know, some of the variable costs will change. You know, power costs will go down a little bit, but you know, the fixed costs will remain the same. So our delivery charge, you know, from last fiscal year, for the fiscal year we're in to next fiscal year, we're expecting to go from just under $1.7 million to, you know, just a little over, you know, just under 2.16. You know, that's $470,000 is a lot. You know, we have to distribute that over 21,000 connections. And then one of the things we did is we, on the estimated here, you know, we know we're going to be in a tier 2A. And one of the things CAP does is they give you their firm numbers, and then they give you some advisory numbers. And what we did is we said, okay, well, we know we're going to be in Tier 2A next fiscal year, so we accommodate for that. And then going forward, you know, we were conservative. We do a water rates analysis every year, but we're trying to get an idea of, you know, what we could be seeing. So what we did is in fiscal years 24, 25 forward, we assume we're going to be in a Tier 3. It's possible we could see that in 24, 25, and I think very likely in 25, 26. So here, the estimated in 22, 23, we'd use the Tier 2A. I'm sorry, in fiscal year 23, 24, we did a Tier 2A, and then we did Tier 3s thereafter. So that's, you know, another reason you see these numbers are really going up, because, you know, just looking at, you know, the adjustments to the tiers, or to the rates, based on the tiers, you know, it's $20, $30, $40 more an acre. So it really drives up the price. Our Tucson Water CAP Wheeling, this is, you know, what we pay Tucson Water to utilize our capital infrastructure to wheel a portion of our CAP allocation to our service area. You know, that's going up, and here we just trended it. That's going up 4 to 5% a year. I think we used 4.75% and just carried it out in the future years. And feel pretty good about that, because it's just following the trend of what we've been seeing. And then our reclaim delivery charge here, again, that's utilizing Tucson Water's capital infrastructure to deliver our entitlement. And in both cases of the wheeling of CAP and the delivery of reclaim, we're not paying Tucson Water for the resource. It's our resource in terms of CAP, and it's our entitlement in terms of reclaim, but it's just the cost to utilizing that capital infrastructure.
Peter, on the, well, on all of those, the unit cost is going up, but are you assuming the same volume?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming, because here, you know, now bear in mind, I'm assuming 10,305 acre feet, but if, let's say, in a Tier 3, we do see some reductions here. Yeah, that I just have no idea what those would be yet. You know, I'm okay with making some assumptions, but yeah, I didn't know it would be 1,000 acre feet. But yeah, if those numbers could be reduced if we're taking less deliveries, but we're firmed by the Arizona Water Bank. Yeah.
Why did the reclaim delivery charge drop in 21-22? Use less?
It depends on what every year Tucson Water does an analysis, and what they look at is how much are they reinvesting in their capital infrastructure. I think that year they, in previous years, they had some projects they were doing to reinvestments in their capital infrastructure on that part of the system that we benefited from. So, you know, we can see a little more, but then, you know, it depends on what their O&M plan is in those subsequent years.
Okay. Yeah. But you have the information for 22-23 already?
Yes.
Yeah. So all of it will change in 22-23.
Yeah, and here again,
we did a
5% increase, but there could be dips and peaks in that, depending on, you know, what kind of capital reinvestments Tucson Water needs to do. Another driver is, you know, that we pay an administrative fee to the town's general fund for services that we don't perform in-house. For example, you know, procurement services, legal services, HR services, some of the financial services provided. But what happened here is, you know, it had been steadily going up. And then last year, admin did an analysis to really try to nail it down as to what was the value of the services the general fund provided to the water utility. So there was a big
big bump up between last fiscal year and the current fiscal year we're in. And unfortunately, we got that information after we had done our water rates analysis, and we had already, you know, gone through the finance subcommittee, the Water Utility Commission. So that just came out of our cash reserves, but now we're accounting for that moving forward. Here again, we did a 5% increase per year, so hopefully we won't see any more jump ups like that. I consider that, I guess, like a true up cost. Where
why is it over 2 years? There's a big jump in 2021-22, and then another big jump to 2022-23.
Yeah, that's just what we saw.
Did they split their true up over 2 years?
No, we saw the true up cost here. I think there might have been a qualitative assumption that we were quite a bit under, so because we saw a big bump in 2021-22, and then I think when they did quantitatively did the work, you know, we saw another bump up there.
And you're able to review that work?
We are. Not a lot of negotiating room there, but we are able to review it and ask questions and get answers to those questions. The work's performed, in-house, and we do review it. There is some adjustments made based on questions we have with respect to how much of their staff time is working on our stuff.
Well, the one thing I would think is that the advent of the NWRDS should have created a fair amount of load on legal and other places as you were getting into. Easements and things like that, but that will continue.
I think most of it, like, qualitatively, I think a lot of the load is HR, procurement, and then also that includes, bear in mind, includes the building lease.
As you're building something like NWRDS, procurement's going to have a heavier load.
Yes.
And so, I think as the years run out, you might want to look critically at that and say, after that project's finished, ask whether it's the same, still the same impact.
Yep. So that's another. So these are the drivers that really, it's not our capital reinvestments has been really there's no fluff in it at all. We're not hiring new people. We are utilizing, for example, with our new customer interface system, SpryPoint. We are becoming more IT heavy, so we're seeing our IT costs go up in terms of what we're doing with security and cameras on our sites.
Is the IT cost in the administration fees, or do you pay it directly?
It's in the administration. Now we do have some capital projects that are in the for example, some of the SCADA upgrades we're doing and any kind of security upgrades we're doing. Those will show up as actual. I try and keep them showing up as a capital expense just to keep it straight.
Things like the staff cost of the IT.
That's all administrative. That's all administrative. Now fortunately, as we're spending more on information technologies, I think that's one of the reasons why we're not having to increase our staff as well. For example, with our new customer information system, we have a part-time position that we used to have that person resigned, but I don't think we have any intentions of backfilling that position. We're not giving it up yet, but we're seeing how staff does. Because with the new technology, customers can do a lot more self-help options available to them. So, hopefully we're seeing with technology that even if we can't reduce our staff, we're not having to increase staff. But also, if we're moving the utility forward into the future, we're not staying still as, technology is something we're not on the bleeding edge of it, we're trying to stay in the hunt with it. So
see it in capital charge. This is basically what we pay for CAP to pay back the federal government the debt service on the CAP canal. The CAP delivery charge is the cost recovery associated with a fixed and variable cost to deliver CAP water, to our to where we recharge and recover or store water in the future, or to deliver it to our agriculture partners where we have groundwater savings facilities. CAP Wheeling, this here again, this is charges by Tucson Water to deliver a portion of our CAP water allocation for our service area. And likewise, the Tucson Water Reclaim Delivery Charge, this is charges by Tucson Water to deliver our reclaim entitlement to our service area. And again, the administration fee charges by the town for services provided to the water utility. This is just to give the commission body a little context to the things that the commission will be hearing in January, February, and March as things that come out of the finance subcommittee. So I just want to provide a little context for what this commission body will be hearing about early next year. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any additional questions with respect to the kind of the big rate drivers we're seeing.
I have one, but it's probably more for Mary. So in this hypothetical, we do a pretty good job of forecasting CAP water rates based on the fact that we know that we're going to be 2-8, 3, whatever the shortage is, and they give us firm and advisory rates. In the circumstance where something happened where whatever we forecasted, if there was some dramatic change on CAP's end, and we paid rates that were much higher than what we forecasted, even what they forecasted, would we then, in the next year, attempt to recover that shortage from the prior year and in the next year's rates?
We'll come out of the contingency.
So if we had in that particular year, we would dip into like contingency to cover.
Yeah.
But will we attempt?
Oh, you mean in the water rates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so we would recover the negative variance from year one and year two. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But typically, historically, I think because of the conservative nature of how we do things, I don't think that's ever happened, has it?
Yeah, we've never kind of overrated a little under.
Yeah.
I guess
a
hypothetical.
Yeah. I mean, we try to avoid being in the rear of anything. If anything, I'd rather go to council and say, I need less than what I thought I was going to need, some more. Yeah, so. But here again, I mean, while also being sensitive that we believe our customer money is better served in their pocket than ours. And while we do need to have a cash reserve, we don't need to have an overabundance of cash reserve.
Yeah. But if you ever deplete it, you're going to have to recover.
That's a bad day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Okay, so we work really hard.
It may not be a complete depletion, but if you fell back by a few hundred thousand, you might want to come up with a plan to restore it, if not over 1 year, over two.
Sure. We work hard to do that. And the finance committee and this commission is very sensitive to avoiding rate shock and making sure our cash reserves are robust enough. And also looking forward, how much uncertainty is there? Is there a lot of uncertainty in some of our projects? And that was one of the reasons, I think, why we hit the pause button on the partner NWRDS, is we were getting into a realm of uncertainty that we just didn't feel comfortable. We didn't want to charge so much for things, there's a certain level of uncertainty we're just not comfortable with. It's like, let's just hit the pause button on this until we feel better about it. But fortunately, we have an intelligent, diverse commission body with a lot of different experience in a lot of different areas that helps us out a lot and gives good recommendations to council. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. Staff will be busy the next couple of months. This is kind of our primary focus, I think, at least through the end of the year, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Any more questions for Peter? All right, then. Item number 4, discussion on possible action on cancellation of the December Water Utility Commission meeting. I think historically we generally, unless there's some pressing issue, we do that sort of breaking the vacation.
That, and also it really lets us, Mary's been spending just a tremendous amount of time
I make a motion to cancel the December meeting.
And a second motion. And just a minute, we'll do a little call vote.
Commissioner Forrest?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollinger?
Yes.
Commissioner McMillan?
Yes.
Commissioner Milkey?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hare?
Yes.
Vice Chair Hitt?
Sorry.
Chair Hare?
Yes. Yeah, the customer, I upgraded to the new phone screen.
Oh, do you like it?
Yeah. It took me like not 5 minutes, and yeah, it's pretty easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to item number 5, town council meetings and communications from council member Bowman.
Okay. Thank you everyone for being here. In November, this month, we actually had 3 council meetings, and that's the first time I can ever remember. 2 regularly scheduled and then 1 special session on the 10th. And the need for the special session was to fully resolve the work that was being done on the Oral Valley Marketplace. And that was quite confusing and went back and forth over a few years. My recollection of where we ended up is that approximately 500 to 600 apartments are now entitled. And under the condition that there will be a hotel on Oracle, a hotel of about 49 feet on Oracle, and the condition is there won't be any apartments on Oracle until there's a certificate of occupancy for the hotel on Oracle. But what that means on Tangerine is that apartments simply have been permitted. There's the possibility of a hotel on Tangerine, you know, across from the hospital. And probably the stickiest portion of it was the middle area, in which there was contemplated originally a hotel, and now we have a four-story entitlement for apartments. Now, that's going to be an interesting area because the bottom story of that is not just apartments. There needs to be some retail. That was a condition that the town council provided and the applicant accepted. But for the purposes of our commission, I think 600 apartments is possible there. And, of course, that's just the first granting of entitlements. The applicant can always come back for more, but certainly this was a major move forward in terms of what's going to happen there.
I have a
yes.
question. Was there some question originally about the heights of the buildings?
Yes.
How was that resolved?
What was resolved is there was a request by the applicant for height beyond what's allowed in the Rancho Vistoso neighborhood for PAD. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at 3 stories for hotels that are right on Oracle or Tangerine. Mm-hmm. And it can be 4 stories in the center area because the center area is actually a lot lower. If you guys know, you've been there, right? You're well below the road. So it'll actually probably come up to about the same height. But it's lower over there by the keg and, you know, by the movie theater. So that would be the tallest structure that's allowed right now.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Sure. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Subcommittee and commission reports. The finance subcommittee, we have not met. However, it sounds like after the new year, we will.
Yeah, Nicole, we're looking at dates and times of when staff's available. We should be reaching out to folks.
Okay, perfect.
To find the subcommittee before they vote.
And then the water resources and conservation subcommittee?
We didn't also not meet.
Okay. All right, then. Unless there's any questions, moving on to item number 7, the director's report. Take it with you.
Thank you. Chair Merritt. So some upcoming meetings. November 16th, town council regular session. Council chambers at 6 p.m. December 7th, again, town council regular session. Council chambers at 6 p.m. And thank you to the commission body. We're not going to have our December 14th meeting, but we will be working feverishly on water rates analysis work. The council meeting slated for December 21st, 2022 has been canceled due to a holiday break, and the commission body can plan to resume again January 9th in the Hopi Conference Room right here at 5 p.m. to start our new calendar year of work.
Also would like to acknowledge in December, or the end of this year, three of our commissioners will be at the end of their second term. They'll be turning out. That's Commissioner Milkey, Commissioner Hollingsworth, and Commissioner McMillan. Just like to, first of all, Commissioner Milkey, how many years have you been on? Maybe not continuously, but aggregately, how many years have you been on the Water Utility Commission?
I started in 2007.
2007? Mm-hmm. Did you have any breaks in there?
Yes. Okay. 1 year, I can't remember which year it was. And when I first came in, I was filling a partial term, so then I got two full terms after that, so that gave me about 7 years. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it was maybe 14 or 15, I was off for a year.
Wow.
And then came back to fill a partial term.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to recognize that, just the dedication and the commitment you've made to the utility, this commission body, and the community. And me personally, you know, there's sometimes it's hard to recruit commissioners, and we had one of those times where we weren't able to generate any interest, and it was before council had a policy of two terms that you take some time off. And Commissioner Milkey, I think it was three years ago, whatever it was, and you were pretty much done. You were like, I need a break. And I said, please don't. because Commissioner Milkey just brought an extreme amount of historical context to the finance subcommittee, to the commission body as a whole, and to me as well. When I started with the Water Utility, he was already established and well-seasoned then. And I said, I'll tell you what, make you a deal. If you stay on and if things happen in your life that it's too much, no harm, no foul, I'll let you go, no hard feelings. And he said, I'll do the best I can. And he stuck it out the whole way through. So I'm especially appreciative of that. And I don't know how many times Commissioner Milkey told me, what was his saying? You weren't going to make my life easier, but you'd make it better.
Yeah.
I think I'd say he stuck to that. So thank you. I appreciate it.
And I will admit that the twist in my arm finally straightened out.
Yes, thank you. And then Commissioner Hollingsworth, this is, now you, what, 6 years ago, that was your first go at the commission?
Yes.
And so thank you for your two terms. It's appreciated. I hope it's nice having you here to get your perspective on what you added to the commission body and the subcommittee body. Your work as an engineer and owning a consulting firm, it was a great resource, and the perspectives you brought was appreciated. So thank you.
Happy to do it.
Commissioner McMillan, likewise, for 6 years, you're at the end of your second term. Thank you for that. You also had some great perspectives to offer, having been a long-time regulatory compliance guy with Pima County. Your attention to detail, and you're obviously a very good reader, and can pick out things quickly. And you've been a value, and you took a term or two of being the chair, and vice chair. So just thank you for stepping up and doing that, and asking great questions and being active and involved. So thank you. We're really losing three great folks, and hopefully some of you folks that maybe haven't been doing this for 15, 16, 17 years, that after you take a little break and you decide if you want to do it again, we'd love to have you. And then also just want to let the commission body know that we've received five applications for commissioners. So Nicole's going to be working with the clerk's office in scheduling those interviews. So hopefully we can find some good folks in there. But if I think about it, I mean, we're losing just under 30 years of commission experience. And well, after today. So that's a big loss, to the council, as I see it. But
you stay involved, stay engaged. You know, maybe the work Malini has to do, you would be interested in that. And also, you're always welcome in the water utility. Come talk to staff, come talk to me. Keep sending me those emails. We appreciate it. So thank you very much. And I think that concludes my director's report. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, one final call to the audience. And then we snuck in. Okay, with that, I'm going to close the call to the audience. And does anybody have any suggestions for future agenda items? Noting that January will probably be, we'll probably start to talk about budget in January. Okay.
And also in January, this is a non-agendized item, but we'll be setting out a work plan. So if there's things that, you know, I kind of just, you know, we're very cyclic with the utility. We kind of do the same core functions every month of every year, but there's something different in there that you'd like to do, or something you think I should add or take out, let me know, and we'll make that part of the work plan. But the work plan will be to the commission body for approval in January. Thank you.
Okay. Any other suggestions for future agenda items?
If there isn't, I just wanted to make one point about the council policy. There's no intent to lose experience of commissioners, but rather give other people a chance to rotate in. And by the way, there's openings on other commissions, such as planning and zoning and budget and finance. So we're lucky on water, right? Three people leave and there's five applications that just pop up. That's not always the case. So if you're interested in continuing to serve, please look at the other commissions. And I do agree with Peter. Yes, you guys have a lot of experience, and maybe you'll be back soon. But it's never the intent to say the experience isn't valuable. The main intent is to allow other people a chance to join if they want to. So thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Councilmember Golan. So there's nothing further. We're at the point where someone should probably make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Forrest?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Commissioner McMillan?
Yes.